last several sugyas, we were focusing primarily on the Issa Ksiva on Chalamoy. So we got a little, not in a bad way, sidetracked, but because one of the applications of Ksiva Chalamoy was the writing of Tefillin, so this is where the Rishon discussed all the issue of wearing Tefillin Chalamoy. That took up the last couple of shiurim. We have to really get back to the Chalamoy itself in terms of the Issa of writing, and what are some possible exceptions to the Issa of Ksiva Chalamoy. So, the Mishnah lists off a whole series of different things that one is in fact permitted to write a Chalamoid. The first category we're going to discuss is what the Mishnah calls the Shtar Beis Din. The Mishnah says that a person has to write a court-oriented kind of a document, either a get, or perhaps a Shtar Kedushin, or other things which are related to Dinei Torah, Shtar Birurin, things of, we have to write down claims, and Dayanim, all these sorted types of things. So these are all permissible on Chalamoy. And the question is why? What's the heter to write these kinds of documents? So comes tells us and says the reason why they think that it's mutter to write these kinds of documents is because they're all in the category of Dabra Aved. Why are they considered to be a Dabra Aved? So tells us says, let's say for example a person lends you money and we enter into some kind of a transaction or some kind of an agreement, whatever the case may be, and I want to make sure that this agreement is going to be honored after Chalamoy. So one simple way of doing it is to get agents, so just get witnesses to testify that they saw the loan, they saw the business, they saw whatever the case may be, assuming that the transaction itself was something that was committed to be done at Chalamoy, so just bring agents, what's the big deal? So tell us, agents, not so posh, not so simple. Adim, Shem Yamusu Adim, Shem Yochum Dinasayam, who knows what's going to happen to the Adim? The Adim may disappear, and therefore you're not going to be able to prove that the transaction took place. So the only safeguard against that problem is to actually to write a document. It's interesting, we can connect this to the Shurim earlier in the week in terms of Masechet Gittin. We spoke about that this week, about that the Mishnah says in Masechet Gittin, the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin, that Minat Torah, you don't really need Adim to sign a get. Minat Torah, as long as the get is given in the presence of Adim, that's good enough. But it's a very bad idea to do that, because how is the woman ever going to prove that she's divorced? Let's say the Adim died, let's say the Adim Golem Dina Sayam, so she's going to be stuck for life. So therefore the Chachamim strongly recommended, according to some they actually require, but according to others they strongly recommended, to actually sign the document to make sure we can always have Adim on record for years to come. So Tosa says the same thing here also, that since we're afraid Shem Yamusa Adim Shem Yechom Dina Sayam, therefore all these documents take on the status in Halacha of being like a Dover of it. So we have to analyze this Tosus for a moment. Is that really true? If that's considered to be a Dover of it, usually Dover of it means that a person planted a field and is waiting for it to rain, and now it's not going to rain, and the crops are going to die, it's going to be a big loss. Usually Dover of it is pretty certain. Usually Dover of it is not some far-fetched chance of a Dover of it, but it's pretty sure that the person is going to suffer some serious financial loss. Whereas over here, I mean, what are the odds that the Adim are going to die? What are the odds that the Adim are going to go and be the Sayyam? The Chalamoid is not that long. So it's the fourth day Chalamoid, and the Mishnah says you're allowed to sign the Shtar Beit Din, because maybe the Adim are going to die over the next day. So you're going to be over in a day or two. So what's the big deal? So it's somewhat of a far-fetched Dover of it, and yet Tosus is still willing to label this as Dover of it. So the question is, what can we derive from this Tosus? What conclusion can we draw from this Tosus? The Tosus is willing to invoke the principle of Dover of it, even in a situation where it's far from certain of being a Dover of it. So we spoke about this a little bit in the past, where this Tosus came up tangentially. The very beginning, remember, this goes back already to almost a year already since we were doing Chos Chalamoid, so I think we can chaz for a minute. So remember the very beginning of the Hilchos Chalamoid, we discussed the fundamental machlokes and Rishonim, whether the Isser and Malach and Chalamoid is derais or is derabanan. The Rai is back and forth in the Gemara. At the end of the day, it was machlokes and Benetam and the Rashbam, the two brothers. The Rashbam maintained that Malach and Chalamoid is deraisa, and the Benetam said the whole thing is on the midrabanan. What prompted Rabbi Natan to say to the Rabbanan, all the kulas, all the strange kulas, Davra Aved, Tzorchi Rabbim, if it's Maisa Hedya, a lot of different kulas that we have. Says Rabbi Natan, it's hard to believe that there's any mokra in the Chumash for any of these distinctions. They weren't about any of these things. It must be the whole thing is midrabanan. How come Mikal call the whole Esther is on midrabanan? And the Rashbam and other Rishonim say, oh, it's deraisa. How is it such strange chiluk? So we gave two, three different approaches in the Rishonim how to solve that dilemma. One of the most famous ones we said was the Sefer Chinuch. The Sefer Chinuch says It's an issa deraisa, but when Masara calls it Allah Chachamim, it's a unique type of an issa that the Torah gives the Chachamim a certain leeway to be convey what the rules are. So whatever the Chachamim say is mutter, whatever the Chachamim say is asr, but the issa is an issa deraisa. It's not just a derabbanan like the Rabbeinu Tam, it's an issa deraisa which is defined in the details by the Chachamim. So whatever the case may be, there's clearly a machlokes rishonim, somewhat of an unresolved machlokes rishonim, whether malakas chalamoid is deraisa derabbanan. L'chora nafkamina, and the shaila should be about something. If you have something which is maybe mutter, maybe also chalamoid, you're allowed to do it. So if you hold that malakas chalamoid is deraisa, then finish. So maybe deraisa l'chomer tasa. But if you hold that malakas chalamoid is only derabbanan, so then the stumble should apply the rule of sveik and derabbanan l'kula. So when we read this Tosas about writing documents on Chalamoy, the Tosas says it's mutter to write court documents. It's mutter to write all these judicial documents because it's a suffix davar aved. So it sounds like Tosas saying that Malachas Chalamoy is the Rabbanan. Since it's only a suffix davar aved, so Mamela, it's mutter because suffix davar aved l'kula. That's the simple reading of the Tosas.
What's it for?
Oh, we're going to get back to the So, if this is correct, this would leave us a little bit hanging, because then we wouldn't even be convinced that we should follow the Tosas, because after all, we're far from convinced that Malachas Chalamoid is derabbanan. If anything, derabbanan sounds like that Malachas Chalamoid is in fact deraisa. It sounds like many of the Rishon, for sure many of the Rishon know this way. Maybe even most of the Rishon know that it's deraisa. So do we want to commit this Tosas to those opinions that maintain that Malachas Chalamoid is derabbanan? But to make matters even a little bit more complicated, even the niyach that's an issa derabbanan of Malachas Chalamoid, in order to create a sveik derabbanan l'kula, it has to be at least a 50-50 sofek. It has to be at least what we call an halacha sofek ashokol. It has to be something which is a realistic 50% chance that this is also 50% chance that's mutter. What are the odds of pointing in the direction that it is in fact asar? That's not called a sveik derabbanan l'kula. That's called a rov. We must have the fairish neirvin. That sveik derabbanan l'kula doesn't apply when it's most probably going to be asar. So l'chora, to say that there's a rov, the eidim are going to die. There's a rov, the eidim are going to disappear. Very unlikely. So even if we learn pshat and tosas, even if we'll concede that this tosas in my cup that is a sumimek rabbeinu tam, that the love of chalamot is derabbanan, and therefore we can invoke the rule of sveik and derabbanan l'kula, l'chora, this is not even a suffix. This is not even a 50-50 suffix. This is a 2% suffix. So l'chora, this wouldn't even qualify the sveik and derabbanan l'kula. So what is the Pshat in Tosas? If it's not based on Sveik Derabbanan L'kula, so it's most probably based on the Recenter alluded to, an opinion of the Ritva, we spoke about it already many, many times over the last year, where the Ritva says that why is it that Davar Avid is Mutar? So the Ritva suggests the following, you say, the real hetter from Malach HaKalamayit is Torah HaMoed. The basic klal is, whatever it hands from Yontif is Mutar, whatever it detracts from Yontif is also. That's the basic rule in terms of Malach HaKalamayit. Again, with some nuances of, iron out some of the details, but that's the basic klal. So says the Ritva, enhancing Yontif is not just physically enhancing Yontif, psychologically enhancing Yontif also. The guy's going to be distraught. He's sitting there with the Beis Medrash staggering away, and he's saying hallow and wonderful, celebrating Yontif. And somebody just told him that his fields are about, all his crops are about, the bride's about to suffer $10 million loss. So that's going to shtere his Yontif. That's going to ruin the Sufa's Yontif. So if he doesn't go and fix his field, doesn't go and irrigate his crops, that's going to detract from the celebration of Yontif. That's why Davar Avid is Mutter. Davar Avid is Mutter not because of a financial loss, but Davar Avid is Mutter because that goofa detracts from the celebration of Yontif. If that's the case, if the Ritva's Yisod is correct, then we understand the Tosas quite well. Why does Tosas say that suffering Davar Avid is Mutter? The answer is people psychologically distress me suffering. If I would come and tell you, listen, you're about to suffer a $10 million loss, but I'm not sure. There's a 30% chance you're about to suffer a $10 million loss. You better believe you're going to be miserable. You're going to be upset. There's something in your power to do to avoid that loss. You're going to want to do everything possible. You're not going to want to stay in the base medicine and keep on saying hallel. So a suffering number of it is also called an enhancement of simple yontif. So we don't have to fall back on suffering derabbanan l'kula. It could be this is not even enough of a suffering to create a suffering derabbanan l'kula. And it could be this Tosas is following the Rashbam, that Malachas Chalamoid is in fact Asa Min HaTorah. And it's still mutter, because I just entered into a business transaction that was permissible, whatever the details were. I just lent you $10 million, and if I don't get a document, I'm going to be shaking. The whole yontif, the whole Asa Chalamoid, I'm going to be shaking. Maybe the Eidim are going to die, the Eidim are going to go into China, I'll never see my money again. So it's that that shaking, it's that distress, that psychological distress of potentially losing money, that labeled as a davar avin, and that's why you're allowed to write the shtaros and yontif. That's Tosfos Mahalach in the Sugya.
Would the same thing apply if you were a CPA and the tax deadline falls out towards the end of Chol HaMoed, and your boss tells you, you better come in on such and such days, which are Chol HaMoed, or you won't have a job after?
That's for sure davar avin. Yeah, that's no question. Losing a job is a valid called davar avin.
The post can give any guideline as to what is considered the suffering.
The Mishmurah says, that has to be a davar aragil. Mishmurah says, that has to be 50-50. It has to be something which is realistic. You know, a guy could have the greatest, a guy has a chashash. If I don't go irrigate my field, so there's a 0.1% chance that everything may die. Something that's not a suffering.
What if there's a 30%?
It has to be a, 40. Yeah, that's okay. It has to be a type of a suffering that people are nervous about. I think that's...
Well, that's the economic situation.
Right, you know,
not specific person's company, not specific his job, but the economic environment. Would that be...
Maybe that would also qualify as a davar avin. It would depend on the situation. If it's a type of a quasi-suffering davar avin that people are nervous about, it's a davar haragil, which unfortunately today is more than a davar haragil, so maybe a davar avin. Maybe that would kind of qualify as a davar avin. Hopefully by the next Chol HaMoed, things will be better.
No, but specifically, let's say, person's a lawyer, an accountant, and they're cutting. Universally, they've cut already 5,000 jobs. They might cut another 8,000 jobs. So
this guy doesn't show up for
his or her section. Not necessarily doesn't know whether he's going to be doing it, but.
And you try to say that if he doesn't show up for work for 4 days, that's going to put him towards the top of the list of being cut.
Not showing up for 4 days. It's mamish and stuff. Like not showing up for 4 days, you don't know what his boss.
What the impression is going
to
be?
It's impossible to find out.
Right. I would say that.
Even speaking as an employee, it's impossible.
I would say that's a suffering davar avin. In Ochanami, I'd say you're right.
It won't make a difference, but yeah,
it's a suffering. If it's enough to get it right,
if it's cutting 5,000, they're going to cut 6,000 whether he shows up or not.
No, it's a hard agdara. The Mishnah Berurah says davar ragil. If there's any realistic chance that his not coming in will make a bad impression on the boss, which in turn may put him, may make him more
chuckle.
Oh, Javmer. So it's a chuckle. So the same notion. So in Ochanami, if that's the reality, then Ochanami. Yeah.
At the end of the day, the wounds get Sukkot Yomtiv.
Even the Vesof, that he can do any Malach on Yomtiv. So Chazal Kanei Adav Rabbe, but it doesn't have to be about Adav Rabbe. But notwithstanding the Tosfos, if one takes a look at the Rambam, so the Rambam doesn't give this reason. The Rambam Fakeh gives another reason, which we'll see in a moment, is also a very problematic reason. But the Rambam doesn't give this reason of davar avin. And probably the reason why the Rambam doesn't give this reason is the Rambam held is not a davar avin. It's not a davar avin, because it's only a suffix. It's not even a suffix. Even though the Rambam might possibly hold that Rosh Chalamot is derabana, the Pasha is a little bit of different nuances in the Rambam. If you remember, we spoke about a long time ago, but the simple pshat of the Rambam is that Rosh Chalamot is over derabana. If you remember, last year we said that the Rambam in one place sounds like Rosh Chalamot is deraisa, and in another place it sounds like it's derabana. So the Mishkanes Yaakov had a deal based on the Rambam that the Zman HaMikdash, if a person actually brings a carbon that day, then it becomes deraisa. If you happen not to be coming to the Beis HaMikdash that day, then it's only midrabanan. So the Maisa for us, most probably the Rambam holds Maris Chalamot is derabanan, and still the Rambam doesn't quote this heter of davar avin in the context of the Edom dying. The Rambam probably held it's not even a latest of Safek, it's a nothing, it's a 2% chance. So maybe the Rambam doesn't buy into the Ritva's Lamdus. Whatever the case would be, the Rambam doesn't advance the reason of the Baal HaTosis of davar avin. So what is the heter? How about the Mishnah says that one is allowed to write course documents and transactions and all these kinds of things. So the Rambam writes, the reason why you're allowed to do it is that this is called Tzorchei Rabim. And Tzorchei Rabim are Nasim B'Yomtif, are Nasim B'Chol HaMoed. The question is, wait a second, Tzorchei Rabim, this is not a community document, this is my document, I'm selling the house. But if I'm allowed to sell the house, I'm not a Chol HaMoed different story. I'm selling the house, I'm lending you $1,000, I'm in a din Torah with you, whatever the case may be, it's some personal document between two Balintavo, so that's considered to be Tzorchei Rabim. So the Rivash writes in the Tshuva that what the Rambam is driving at is as follows, that having a court system in place, having a legal system in place, that's a Chovas HaTzibur. That's something that the whole community has to deal with. So the mitzvah of dayanim, there's not even something that's only mutal on the Jewish community. This is something on the non-Jewish community also. On the shemitz meinochet dinim, that you have to stem a chuyif to set up a court system. In fact, that's what some of the rishonim say. That's why the Shechem and Chamorah were all chayav misa, even though it was only Shechem who was the one who actually did the aveir of taking dina. But nobody tried him. Nobody put him on trial. Nobody locked him up. Nobody did anything about it. So people who were part of a society where, assuming they had the ability to do something about it, but if you're part of a society and you could create a court system, you decide to have a hefkevel. So that's a bit the leaving of the Shem HaMitzvah Benach, of a chomer of Dina Yisrael. So the Eilam Mishpatim Shatasim Ufer requires of us to have a court system in place.
What was his Averis of Ben Noach in the case? What was his Averis of Ben Noach?
In Geneva?
No, all you said was Dina.
Yeah, I'm saying he stole Dina, but the question is, what did everybody else do? So why was the rest of the
Averis? Was kidnapping.
Kidnapping, yes. So comes the Rivash and says, the Rambam is driving at, this is kind of an extended type of a little bit of a stretch of the idea of Tzachir Rabim, but this is also Tzachir Rabim.
The Tzachir Rabim, the Bezin, just not functioning for one day?
Yep, that's right. That's what the Rivash says, that when you have a situation, I can't write a document. I come to court, I want to write a court document, they put up a sign, gone fishing. That's not functioning. So that's the Tzachir Rabim. So Tzachir Rabim is
there. Does it mean that Bezin has to be available every moment?
No, it doesn't mean every single day. There are hours of operation, Bezin, they have a lot of vacation also.
In Yerushalayim, the Bezin of Aglishev only sits on Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay, but there are other batim that are around, there are other things that are around. So there are sofer, they have other things, but if you have a system where a guy can't sell kaka, a guy can't write shtar berun, a guy can't write shtar kedushin because the sofer, they are all on vacation for a week, so that's not right. That's going to be a bit of a mistake, Rabbi.
So Kointer was essentially saying, can you hold that it just has to be 2 days a week? Because we know, like, you know, the Gemara discusses, like, you know, the farm, they used to come into the city only 2 days
okay.
a week. So...
Okay, so maybe if that was the system of that, maybe they felt that 2 days a week was enough, but if you have a situation where you need sofer and the yom to be available all the time, so they can't just go on vacation for a week for chalamoid. So whatever the case may be, this other Rambam is man via this heft of writing court documents, legal documents, because it's considered to be a tzorchei rabim. So we have to analyze this for a moment. Does this really meet the criteria of tzorchei rabim? So first of all, we already know, we already learned the Sugya of Tzachir Rabim. We already pointed out, within the Sugya of Tzachir Rabim, there are different types of Tzachir Rabim. There are Tzachir Rabim that are necessary, mamish, for this day itself, things which are, if you don't fix it now, if you don't fix the road now, people are going to trip right now. And then there are Tzachir Rabim that are necessary for down the line, that then a week from now we're going to have some kind of a Tzarek, and a month from now, 6 months from now, the community can have some kind of a need. So what are the guidelines? What are you allowed to do for Tzachir Rabim of now? What are you allowed to do for Tzachir Rabim of the future? So if you remember, we had a Raivit that a couple of weeks ago, we spoke, we had a Raivit from the Gemara, that Tzachir Rabim, which are necessary mamish right now, they're going to actually enhance the Yontif, so that even a Maisa Uman is mutter. Now, normally Maisa Uman is out of the question, normally to do a professional kind of a job, so that's absolutely out of the question on Cholomoy, even if it's a Tzachir Yom. But if it's a Tzachir Rabim, a Tzachir Yom, then they lifted even the issue of Maisa Uman. That's why, if you remember, the Gemara spoke about digging wells, digging pits for water. So the Gemara said that if the Rabim are going to drink that water now, they're mamish there, and they're going to use it in the next couple of days on Cholomoy, then you're even allowed to get professional diggers in there. You're allowed to do it in a real normal way, because Tzachir Rabim, which is the Tzachir Yom, even a Maisa Uman is mutter. Masha'in Kain, if it's merely a Tzachir Rabim, which is not the Tzachir Yom, it's wells that aren't going to be used now. We need some extra spare wells of water that no one's going to drink for the next 2 weeks. So then the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to dig them in the normal way. Then you have to do it in a Maisa Head Yom. You have to do it in an abnormal way, in a non-professional manner. So even within the heter of Tzachir Rabim, we saw certain distinctions, that Maisa Uman is only mutter if it's mamash on Tzachir Yom. So now we have to analyze the Rambam one step further. These types of shtaros, these types of documents that the Rambam is permitting to be written on Cholamoy, the documents, the court, the documents, are they being written in a Maisa Hedyot, are they being written in a Maisa Uman, are they being written in a professional, skilled manner, or are they being written just, you know, jotted down just quickly with as a Hedyot would do. So it's clear from the Rambam that these are Maisa Uman, the court documents are Maisa Uman. How do I know that? Because we'll talk a little bit later, today or next week, we'll talk about what the Gemara speaks about, the Shtar Cheshbonos. The person has to write like a shopping list, has to just keep a tally of his own personal numbers. So the Rambam calls that a Maisa Hedyot, and we'll talk about that heter a little bit later on. So the Rambam specifically writes that that certain things are Maisa Hedyon and certain things are Maisa Uman, and it's clear from the Rambam that the Shtar Beis Din are part of the Maisa Uman category. That you don't, when you have documents that are written by Beis Din, they're not just scribbled by somebody with a crayon. They're written by a professional scribe, they're written by the Sofer HaDayonim, they're written in a professional way, and as such, they're called the Maisa Uman. So now things get a little bit tricky for the Rambam. So this type of writing that we're permitting based on the heter of Tzorchei Rabim, this is a very, very big heter. This is a heter not just of writing. This is a heter of writing with a Maisa Uman. And yes, it's a Tzorchei Rabim. But L'chora, Tzorchei Rabim itself is not enough. It has to be a Tzorchei Rabim with Tzorchei Yom. It has to be something that's going to enhance the Yom Tov also. Because if it's not going to enhance the Yom Tov, so then it's like digging a well that we don't really need for today. We only need for next week, and we need it for next week, so you only mount there a Maisa Hedyon, not a Maisa Uman. So the Chora, what the Rivash and the Rambam have to be saying, is that the Halacha has elevated the writing of legal documents. It's not just the Tzorchei Rabim. It's a Tzorchei Rabim at Tzorchei Yom. What do you mean, Tzorchei Yom? Sell the field next week? Take out the loan next week? No. I want to engage in this business right now. It's permissible for me to sell the field for whatever reason. It's permissible for me to lend the money for whatever reason. So right now, that's called Tzorchei Yom. The fact that Eila Mishpat Meshadasim Lefem, the fact that you must have a legal system in place all times, so that's considered to be not just a Tzorchei Rabim. That's called the Tzorchei Rabim of Tzorchei Yom, which permits you to violate the highest level of Malacha and Chol HaMoed. Even Malacha, which is Maisa Uman, something which is normally off limits, you would never be permitted to do a Maisa Uman and Chol HaMoed, even if it's Tzorchei Rabim, unless it's a Tzorchei Yom Mamish. This is called a Tzorchei Yom. So that's quite a chiddush in the Rambam. You can begin to see why Tosfos didn't go that route. Why Tosfos went searching for Davar Aveid. Why Tosfos didn't want to be mocked in the legal documents based on Tzorchei Rabim, because they're very, very shaky Tzorchei Rabim. To make matters even more shaky, in case they weren't shaky enough for the Rambam. So if you remember this, you know, as we get further on, deeper and deeper into Chos Chol HaMoed, we keep on bringing back old sugyos. But here also, if you remember, we spoke about Be'arichos, but we spoke about the Hetzer Tzorchei Rabim. We pointed out there was a famous Shuvah at Rashba, where the Rashba says that Tzorchei Rabim only applies to physical Tzorchim, not to halach, not to spiritual Tzorchim. That's why the Rashba said that to dig a pit in order to be able to get drinking water, that's okay. To fix the road, people shouldn't trip, that's okay. To build a shul, says the Rashba, that you can't do a Chol HaMoed. So the Shvai Chai V'Kai of the Yester Rashba, what do you mean? The Tzorchei Rabim, Tzorchei Rabim, Imcha Tzorchei Rabim, Kodom Yisrael. So the Rashba, that's not a Tzorchei Aguf, it's a Tzorchei Nefesh. Tzorchei Nefesh are not Mutru Chol HaMoed. Tzorchei Aguf are Mutru Chol HaMoed. It was a little bit counterintuitive, but that's what the Rashba says. That to build a shul, that's off limits on Chol HaMoed. If you remember when we spoke, we are Richos, about fixing the Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed, so we spoke a lot about this Rashba also, that the Rishon Rav, a whole discussion about, are you permitted to fix a Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed? You're leaning on Chol HaMoed, and then you find a mistake on the Sefer Torah, there's no other Sefer Torah around, are you allowed to fix it? So our initial reaction was, Ein l'cha Tzorchei Rabim, go to Mizom. It's a Tzorchei Rabim. It's the Tzorchei Yom Tov. Even though it's a Maisa Uman, that's true, not everybody knows how to fix the Sefer Torah, but the Chorosh should be Mutter. So the Rashba seemed to say no. The Gra said that according to the Rashba, no, it's awful, you can't do that either. Because laying is a spiritual Torah, it's not a physical Torah, so you won't lay. It's better that you shouldn't lay rather than fix the Sefer Torah. So the Rashba was a very, very big Bachmir in Tzorchei Rabim. Tzorchei Rabim are limited only to physical Tzorchei Rabim, not the spiritual Tzorchei Rabim. You remember when we spoke about the details of the Shittas Rashba, we pointed out there seemed to be steers in Halacha. On the one hand, in Shulchan Aruch, we say you're not allowed to fix to build the shul. On the other hand, we let you fix the Sefer Torah. So we had a lot of problems with that. That was the Arichos we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. But the basic is that the Rashba seems to be true, that Tzorchei Rabim are limited only to the physical realm.
So that's the shtim with the Ritva.
Well, the Ritva was more of a Dover of a type of a thing. Tzorchei Rabim is a stone category. Because Tzorchei Rabim, the Rishami said, a mutter because they're like a shikl davar of it, because in Loach Shavei Masai, if you don't do it now, you're never going to get it done. So you want to know, once you go with that Ritva, that it's a davar of it type of halacha, and it's a anxiety type of halacha. So what's the difference if I'm anxious because I don't have the same time, anxious because I don't have water? So that maybe a type of contradicts. So one thing, notwithstanding how much time we spent on this Rashba several weeks ago, the Rambam seems to disagree with it. The Rambam's allowed to disagree with the Rashba. So the fact that the Rambam invokes the Heter of Tzorchei Rabim in terms of the Eila Mishpat Meshatot Mishayim, it's so important that the courts function, because otherwise we're going to be in violation of the mitzvah of Mishpat and Din, That's not a physical need. That's a spiritual need. That's a mitzvah need. And the Rambam still calls that a tzarchi rabbim. So it sounds like the Rambam is not accepting this Rashba. So a core part of the Rambam's reason that he suggests why you're allowed to write these court documents of Chol Hamoed is because it falls under the pre-existing heter of tzarchi rabbim is very, very shaky, because you have to really revamp tzarchi rabbim, and you have to call it tzarchi rabbim, tzarchi yom mamish, because it's a ma'is umun, and you have to say that the Rambam disagrees with the Rashba. There are a lot of assumptions with the Rambam, but when all the dust settles, the Rambam says what he says. So it's definitely mutter to write these court documents of Chol Hamoed. There's no question that the Mishnah, the Chayrish, the Shtai Beru, and Shtai Kedushin, there's no question it's mutter. Why it's mutter? So we have two major approaches in the Rishonim. We have Tosus on the one hand that it's mutter based on Dover of it. We have the Rambam on the other hand that it's mutter based on the Tzachir Abim. But each one of the Rishonim has problems. Tosus Shita is problematic because it touches upon Chol Hamoed Deraisa Derabana, touches upon whether we accept the Ritvana, touches upon is this a realistic suffix or not. So there are a lot of reasons to question Tosus's analysis, but the Rambam Shita is also full of problems, because the Rambam Shita is assuming something about Tzarchi Rabbim, it's assuming something about Maisa Uman, Maisa Hedyot, Tzarchi Hayom, etc. So although each Rishon has a reason that's given, we could fully understand why each Rishon didn't want to go to the root of the other Rishon, because Tosus has his problems, and they have their problems, and the Rambam has his problems. But at the end of the day, the din stands that one is permitted to write these kinds of documents for one of two reasons. So next week, we'll continue with other kinds of writing that would be permitted. Thank you.
In the circle of Rabbim, once you get to the point that you say you need court documents are a Rabbim version, then why do you then have to drill down and say that should be the end of the argument? In other words, if you perform a court function, it's going to be